actually, they've found that laughter is medicine. Laughter directly affects your health. It's been proven to be a stress reliever. It actually keeps your body relaxed for about 45 minutes after you laugh. There was a cardiac surgeon who found that laughing tones all your internal organs and strengthens your abdominal muscles, so you can actually get a six-pack from laughing.
Emergency room doctor Candace Myrie saves lives in emergency situations every single day. For her job, she has to be flexible and fast, going from patients who are literally dying to dealing with things like an ear infection in the next room. Humor eases that transition. It also lets her connect with her patients better, getting critical diagnoses and easing her patients' pain and fears more easily in emergencies where every second matters. I know Candace because she's a fellow surfer. I've been on surf trips with her, and I've seen her in action, literally saving lives and stitching wounds. Recently, Candace went viral on social media. After reading a study in a well-respected medical journal written by vascular surgeons who criticized female doctors for wearing bikinis on social media, calling them more unprofessional, Candace spoke out about sexism in medicine. The image she posted was her in action, saving a life at the beach while she happened to be wearing a bikini, which is what you do when you surf. And her post spoke out about how female doctors should be allowed to wear whatever they want, and how that study was basically bogus. The post was just a post. She really didn't think much of it and went to work afterwards. At the time, she had about 300 followers or so on her social media account, including me, and she just wasn't that active on media sites like Instagram. But when she came back after her shift, she had 10,000 followers on her Instagram account. She had 20,000 followers by the next morning and 30,000 followers by the third day. Afterwards, she took more action, and then she posted a series of funny images to talk about a serious matter, and she even enrolled her male doctor friends to post images of themselves in Speedos to show support and solidarity for female doctors. Candace is just that kind of person. She cares about the world and she cares about humans, but she also loves to laugh. On today's show, I asked Candace how humor brings her not only vitamin joy for herself, but how humor helps her in medicine, how it helps her patients, her coworkers, and even how it helps make people like you and I and everyone else healthier. We also talk a little about her newfound social media fame, how humor helps her as a parent, and how humor can help us all in our own lives, even in emergencies, even when things feel heavy, even in the year 2020. All right, Candace Myrie, welcome to Vitamin Joy.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you.
You de-stress by laughing, which is something I do, and I've gotten in trouble for it in life, but I really believe in the power of laughter.
I absolutely agree. I think laughing is the most important part of my day. If I don't laugh enough, I just don't feel great at the end of the day. And I try to laugh when everything happens, whether I'm happy, sad, angry, frustrated. I feel like it's just such a good stress reliever.
I know I'm going to ask you this later, but do you have any statistics about, because you're an emergency doctor, you're in emergency situations every day. Do you have any statistics about how laughing helps in emergency situations, whether it's with patients healing or whether they just feel at ease a little bit better?
Yeah, actually, they've found that laughter is medicine. Laughter directly affects your health. It's been proven to be a stress reliever. It actually keeps your body relaxed for about 45 minutes after you laugh. There was a cardiac surgeon who found that laughing tones all your internal organs and strengthens your abdominal muscles. So you can actually get a six pack from laughing, which is great for me.
Yes, I love that.
There you go. It improves social relationships. So with my patients, it brings us together right away if we can make a joke or find something that's funny about the situation that brought them to the ER. Apparently, it boosts your immune system, and that's been well studied too, that it increases the white blood cell count to fight cancer, bacteria, and viruses. So, you know, if you get COVID, I suggest you buy a bunch of comedy films. Also, depression. It dumps really good neuropeptides into your bloodstream, such as oxytocin, dopamine, and that decreases depression. And then just in general for physical pain, I find it's really helpful, especially with kids and people nervous about procedures. If you can get them to laugh, it really decreases their anxiety. And then just in general, I think it just makes you more resilient. It also helps me with conflict. If someone's getting really upset in the ER and we can somehow make it funny in whatever way we can, it usually helps the situation. And then I also use it when I'm trying to educate teenagers, especially about STDs, because that's never fun. But I will say things like, love is temporary, herpes is forever, or pace yourself, don't waste yourself, when I'm talking about alcohol and how often you should drink. So I really use it all throughout my day to help my patients, help myself. It's just the biggest tool in my box, I guess I could say. Oh, that sounded dirty. You know, sorry.
I love that Candace has the same sense of humor I do. Yeah. And you know, when I started this podcast, the whole goal was I really wanted this podcast to be about doses of joy that were easy to understand and accessible and had some PG-13 jokes thrown in. I really liked Beavis and Butthead growing up. So that's great.
Oh yeah. I was totally down. That's what I used. My dad and I used to go on road trips and listen. We would read Truly Tasteless joke books, which I read at his memorial service. I found one joke that was PG-13, but really they're so horrible. When you read them, they're just so inappropriate. I could never read any right now on your show. It would be extremely offensive. But that's really where I got my sense of humor from, is my dad was a heart surgeon and he saw horrible, tragic events, but he would come home and make funny jokes and inappropriate jokes. And that's how he relieved himself from stress. So I really was able to inherit his sense of humor and to find joy even in tragic days.
So then how did you decide to get into medicine? Was it because of your dad?
I actually sort of fought it because I never saw him growing up. And I missed that experience of having a father around all the time.
Because he was working so much.
He worked so much. I rarely ever saw him. And when we did, you know, we would have a great time together. And we were very similar. We liked athletics and adventure and traveling. But so it took me a long time. I actually didn't go to medical school until I was 26. I was an old medical student. And it was really tough for me because I'd sort of been out of the stringent everyday reading. You read 300 pages a day in medical school, or at least that's what assigned to you. So I would have a long day, be reading, and around 9 o'clock at night, I would go from crying hysterically because I thought there's no way I'm going to read 300 pages to laughing hysterically. And that's how I started my journey into thinking, God, if I can just laugh my way through how difficult medical school is in residency, I can make it.
I mean, you went to Wellesley. So like undergrad, you were no dummy. You went to a really good school for undergrad. And then your med school is USC, right?
Correct.
That's a no joke school.
It is true. But this is how life goes. As you know, you start out, I went to a great school, a private school for my education. And felt like I was the top of the class there, which I probably wasn't. But I felt really great about myself. So when I went to Wellesley College, I was, you know, meandering towards the bottom. And then you go on to med school and now you're really getting low down there because there's just so many brilliant people around you. And then residency, even more so. We used to joke that there's something called AOA, which is like the top percent of the class. And I was OAO. But you know what? I didn't mind because I still had made it. And we wielded our humor to help us get close to patients quickly. And honestly, what I've learned over the years is it's not the smartest, the bookworm who makes the diagnosis or figures out how to treat the patient best. It's the person who understands them and makes that connection. And the way I make my connection right away with people is make them feel at ease with me so they can tell me their story and I can understand what's going on with them and I can make the diagnosis. And that's why I'm a successful ER physician. I'm not the smartest person in the room, but I'm sometimes the funniest.
So in med school, you said, though, you got through it by laughing. But how did you cultivate that humor muscle? And how did you laugh? Because med school is no joke.
Med school is no joke. It's very rigorous. But I met my best friend, Betty Ahn, in medical school. And she was hilarious and literally kept me in stitches the whole time. Pun completely intended. She just really was a stand-up comedian. And we spent, you know, 4 years hanging out together, and Betty can make anything funny. the most tragic, saddest moment, she could make it hilarious. So she really actually helped cultivate that ability for me to laugh at myself. Really, I have to attribute her with keeping me sane through most all of my training. So thank you, Dr. Ahn.
Humor is a really, it's a beautiful thing, but it's also a really tricky thing, and it's not always socially acceptable, but it can be so powerful. One thing you did was you used a little bit of humor to have a conversation about something difficult, which was sexism in medicine. And maybe your initial picture wasn't really funny. We can talk about what that picture was, but you responded by having a group of men post pictures of themselves in Speedos, which is not only funny, but it's sexy and awesome.
Yeah, I was trying to, you know, this story had come out in the Journal of Vascular Surgery, basically saying that if women wear bikinis in their social lives and post it on social media, they're not going to be successful as physicians, and they're not going to have clientele coming to their vascular surgery practices. I'm not a vascular surgeon. I'm an emergency medicine physician, but I felt solidarity with them, thinking, this is crazy. In 2020, we can't post pictures of ourselves wearing bikinis, and we're going to be, you know, medically shamed for that, and we're not going to have successful professional lives. So this group of pictures came out that showed someone in a bikini, and that picture was unprofessional, and then a picture of them wearing their white coat or their COVID-19 N95 mask, and that was professional. So I just thought that was ridiculous. I just on a whim joined the charge against sexism in medicine and posted a picture of myself saving a life in a bikini. And the symbol of the two worlds coming together, of someone wearing a bikini, having fun, and someone actually saving a life, just merged perfectly with this picture. And I became the face of hashtag MedBikini. So with this newfounded fame, which I accidentally fell upon because I had just started the social media account, I inadvertently became the face of hashtag MedBikini and was very scared about this at first, because I went from 300 followers to 30,000 followers within 3 days. But I finally embraced it and said, you know what? I came from Wellesley College background. I came from, you know, a very highly trained USC Medical Trauma Center. I can do this. I can represent women in medicine. This is a passion of mine. I studied women's studies in college, and I also know how to bring men on your side, just with humor and being inclusive. So an important thing about if you want someone on your side, you need to also have them feel included and also make it funny and entertaining, because nobody wants to watch me lecture about sexism and feminism. They're absolutely 100% not going to join me. So what I did is I casually mentioned to some of the men, the ER physicians on our island of Kauai, hey, you know, there's this horrible article and it's not apparently okay for us to wear bikinis on social media. Would you consider wearing a Speedo and letting me post a picture of you unprofessional and professional in both attire? And they 100% jumped on board. And literally all the men on this island, even ones who were about to retire, were sending me Speedo pictures of themselves. And it was really funny, because nowadays men don't wear Speedos. Back in the day, my dad was European. He wore a Speedo and garden, and that was normal. But most men wear board shorts. So it makes them feel awkward, and it makes them feel exposed, like we do very much in bikinis. I mean, I don't know that bikinis are our first choice to wear when we are out and about necessarily, but it really made it funny for everyone to see guys in Speedos, because nowadays Speedos are funny to Americans, especially. Other countries, they wouldn't think twice, but
I am such a fan of the Speedo.
I think that really brought humor to the whole cause, and everyone saw it as a cause for everyone. It was inclusive. Like, yeah, of course it's ridiculous. Like, of course women can have personal lives and wear bikinis, and men can wear Speedos, and we're all in this together. Like, we all believe that we should all be treated equally. Like, what a joke.
You also happen to be a surfer, and often in locations where you're in a bikini and someone needs help, whether they cut themselves on a reef and they need stitches or something else happens.
Exactly. Yes, I usually don't have a lot of clothes on, and it's been more than one time that this has happened, and oftentimes when I'm not even working. But yeah, I work at surf resorts, and I take care of people with wounds, with abscesses, with, you know, who need stitches, and I usually wear my bikini, and they don't mind, and it's not a big deal. So I was kind of a perfect person to speak to this, because it really shouldn't matter what you're wearing. I can save a life whether I'm wearing a full gown or if I'm wearing a bikini. It's really it's just not important.
But now that you're on Kauai, I imagine you get even more surf injuries every single day at your hospital.
Oh my gosh, I've finally learned that I literally am a magnet for injuries. I cannot tell you, not only myself, but my husband too. He's saved two people from drowning since we've been here. I've helped pull a couple people in. We were hiking to a river a couple months ago and someone passed out when they dislocated their finger and I had to flip them upside down to get the blood going to their head because their friends were trying to prop them up. So I come across injuries all the time on this island. I feel fortunate that I'm there to help people because there's a lot of just adventurous people who come to visit, tourists who don't understand the risks of the current or the hiking and get themselves into a lot of trouble. So I think this is a good place for me to be helpful.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more stories about humor in the emergency room and how we can all have more humor when things feel tough. Oars and Alps is a company I recently discovered built to give active men and women like you and I the best possible skincare products with the most powerful ingredients, all without the hassle, the harmful chemicals, or the massive markup. What I love about this company is it was founded by two female badass entrepreneurs who had outdoorsy husbands and every option out there was either too expensive, too full of chemicals, or too gender specific. So they decided to create their own brand, which became Oars and Alps. Not only do they have amazing natural deodorants, but they have some incredible anti-aging products. And the best part is they all have natural ingredients and no nasty chemicals. So two of the products I love are the Vitamin C Serum, because I'm in the sun all the time, and an incredible product called a Wake Up Eye Stick. It helps get rid of puffy eyes, making you, or making me, look Zoom ready and like I've slept a lot more than I have. So go to oarsandalps.com, that's OARSANDALPS.com, and if you enter the code SHELBY, you'll get 20% off. So go to oarsandalps.com, and with the code SHELBY, you'll get 20% off. You know how seriously I take health and happiness. It's right there in my podcast name. Well, FX Chocolate is a new supplement company that cares about both. They've created 6 different supplement variations, each one lending targeted support to a specific need. Nutraceutical ingredients like ashwagandha, reishi mushrooms, CBD, GABA, L-theanine, and Annatto E are expertly packed in handcrafted squares of sugar-free, keto-friendly, dark chocolate. That's right. I don't know about you, but eating chocolate is a pretty enjoyable way to take supplements for me, and the packaging is just so cool, and it tastes so good. You have to check it out. Let's get real for a minute. 2020 is one of the hardest years we've collectively lived through, and it feels like a small but mighty gift to know that taking care of our bodies and getting the nutrients we need doesn't have to be a drag. FX Chocolate is offering Vitamin Joy listeners 20% off their first order. Use the promo code VITAMINJOY at checkout to get 20% off your first order at their website, fxchocolate.com. That's F as in fun, X as in X Games, chocolate.com. You can have your chocolate and you can eat it too. Use promo code VITAMINJOY at checkout at fxchocolate.com. I've talked about my podcast class I'm offering before, and I have a class on how to develop and start a successful podcast that's going on right now. You can still sign up or you can watch the replays available on demand. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, you love podcasts, and you actually want to make money doing so, I've monetized 3 shows. I sold one to REI Co-op. I still host that. And podcasting has led me to so many opportunities, amazing conversations, friendships, and most of all, it's brought me a ton of vitamin joy. You can find out more at my website, shelbystanger.com/courses. That's shelbystanger.com/courses. You have so many superhero powers. Like, first, you can save people's lives, which, you know, part of me has wanted to go to medical school my whole life just because I'm in so many situations where people get injured and I get injured. I wish I had that skill. But the second is making someone laugh, especially in an emergency. So talk to me how you use humor literally in the ER? Like, how does it help patients? And how does it help other doctors when things are moving so fast, and even family members who are running in to ask about their family members?
Well, going back to what I said about connection, you have to make a connection really quickly. And sometimes the easiest way is to make a joke. You know, someone comes in with a horrible injury, and if you can just make light of it, if you could read them that that's okay, then you get them to laugh about what's just happened to them, then oftentimes it kind of easily breaks you into becoming friends, because you really want to become their friend and their confidant while they're there so you can be helpful to them. Because that's really what people need, and especially now with the days of COVID, where sometimes you don't even have a family member in there, and you really need that comfort. So I feel like emergency medicine doctors are the chameleons of the practice, basically. We have to change our colors or change our mood every time we go into a room. So if I go into a room and someone's, you know, I have to talk to someone about some really painful procedure, I have to find a way to get them to relax and laugh so that they'll be less anxious and experience less pain during the procedure. And then I'll have to walk into the next room and take care of something with someone ridiculous and act like, oh gosh, this is horrible. Oh, how tragic for you. You know, so I constantly have to change my, my appearance of how I react to them, because they want me to be empathetic and just as if their friend would be. And it took me a long time to realize that. And it really realized that by the way people reacted to me, because they would say things like, well, she doesn't really seem to care about how important this is. And I really took that feedback to heart as a young doctor and decided, you know what, every time I go in the room, I'm going to read the room and figure out how they want me to be towards them and do the best I can to just be that chameleon. And then I love the analogy to a chef where you have to walk out of the room and clean your palate, basically, with sorbet or something. And I clean my palate with laughter. I walk outside, I'll think of something funny in my head or make a funny comment to one of the nurses about their day, and then walk into the next room and be ready for a different mood, basically.
But I also think you said something really interesting. You talked about empathy. And I think that in order to have a sense of humor, you also have to have empathy.
100%. You have to have empathy as a physician. However, you have to be careful, because I believe early in my career, if someone was crying, I literally would cry. Or if someone was angry, I would get angry with them. And that can be exhausting. You can't go through your day feeling all the emotions of your patient. So you have to find that happy medium where they can see your reaction, but you're not actually feeling it. Because that's just overwhelming at the end of the day to go through everyone. Can you imagine going through all 20 of your patients' emotions for the day? But they expect that. They really do. So you have to figure out how to show just enough empathy and emotion without harming yourself.
Well, this is really interesting, because I want to ask you about being a mom and being a mom to a young child who goes through a lot of emotions every day. And I think all emotions for everybody are heightened right now during 2020, with people being homeschooled and rules changing daily. How does having a sense of humor carry over into your life as a mom and help you as a parent?
Oh, I think it's so important, especially with a pandemic. I mean, how do you make a pandemic funny to a kid? She really is so good, though, as well. And I think, of course, she might have gotten it from me.
How old is she, real quick?
She's 8.
Awesome.
Yeah. So we're into fart jokes and like the early stages of the birds and the bees. And then she's dabbling a little bit into politics, but, you know, we try to like keep it light. So we make jokes about different masks that people wear, and we'll look at pictures of different masks that people wear that are funny and that are age appropriate. And then, you know, I try to focus on what's positive in our lives here in Kauai, because there is so much. I mean, really, this kid is having the dream life. I mean, she's riding horseback and surfing and riding her motorcycle. And our day is full of adventure, honestly, out here. I really don't have much to complain about, especially since there's only 70,000 people on this island right now.
Wow.
So I always tell people to look for the positive. And of course, I feel the pain of the world and the loss, and especially to my profession. I mean, 7,000 healthcare workers have died from COVID since it started, but I don't take that home with me. My daughter doesn't feel that. She feels that she has this amazing island to explore. We've got the birds and bees and all the confusion to talk about with that. And, you know, she gets to see the best version of me, and we laugh and love and play and just keep everything really positive and light. I try not to bring her down. She hears little comments about different things happening, but we usually are able to make make fun of the political situation and the world situation, to keep it light.
And you have surfing.
Oh, yes.
Surfing isn't an easy sport to learn, and you learned it later in life. And I imagine you had to laugh at yourself in the journey to get good at surfing, because it's not an easy journey for everyone.
Oh, I sucked at surfing. I mean, I really am like the old lady of everything. I'm like the old lady of medical school, the old lady of surfing, the old lady. I was a geriatric mom. I didn't have Sienna until I was 40. So I was a late starter. And generally when you start things late in life, you suck at them for a long time. And so I really spent most of my time underwater surfing. I was burnt out as a third year resident and thought, you know what, I'm going to go on this trip with this amazing women's group, and I want to surround myself with women because I don't want guys making fun of me, because they're obviously going to be better surfers, because surfing was a man's world for a long time. And these just amazing women from all walks of life all gathered together, and we did yoga in the morning and twice a day surf camp. And I met one of my best friends now, Carla. And she's actually, you know, really, I have to say that Surf Diva has really changed the direction of my life. I was a burnt-out resident who was out of shape and super pale and had kind of lost the fire inside me to become a doctor. And they really gave me back the joy of life, honestly, through surfing and humor. That really kept me alive to finish my training. And I sucked at surfing for years, probably 10 years. I feel like I'm still average, but you know, their motto is the person having the most fun is the most successful. I just killed their motto. Shelby, what's their motto?
The best surfer in the water. So since I work at Surf Diva and got to work at that yes. camp when I was 19, which is such a joy because I really do believe surfing changes lives. It is the best surfer in the water is the one having the most fun.
Thank you. Yes, I agree 100%. And I've tried to carry that through, because I was never going to be a professional surfer at 32. I mean, I'm not going to go on the circuit. And so I just had to have fun with it, and really do the best I can and just be happy with my best and not compare myself to other people.
So Candace, it is so cool. You're a surfer, you're a mom, you're an ER doctor. You have this amazing sense of humor and just a giant sense of confidence. And I'm wondering if you can just give advice to parents, people, humans dealing with 2020 and how we can cultivate our humor muscles just to have a little bit more ease in our day and swim through life more easily. Because for you, you seem to swim through life even though you've had challenges. Like, I think you're crushing it.
Thank you. Honestly, laughter has been it for me. You have to laugh at yourself, you have to laugh at situations. Literally everything can be funny if you laugh at it the right way. So, you know, I really have to attribute that to my dad. My dad literally held hearts in his hands, and sometimes the people didn't make it. And he really had to come home and make jokes. He would come home with the funniest jokes from the OR, and we would laugh about them, and they were so inappropriate. But I get it now. I get you have to make jokes about your day, even if it was the worst day of your life. You have to laugh about what happened to you that day. And so I think that, you know, life is beautiful, it's tragic, but you have to find your joy. And if you can find it through laughter, I think that's one of the best strategies. It's the best tool in my box to wield. And so I think that just, you know, you have to go there and find whatever funny bit of humor you can pull out of your life and share it with other people, because I think that's the only one that's going to help us survive everything that's going on in the world today. And then also you might get a six pack, because that's what the studies have shown, that it increases the tone of your internal organs. So if I can get a six pack laughing instead of doing 100 sit-ups a day, then I'm down for that.
I'm going to attribute my six pack to laughing. I don't really have a six pack, but it's almost there. I think it's just from laughing and being inappropriate. I think you're absolutely right. So this whole newfound social media fame, I mean, that you did not set out to become an influencer or a social media star. I know you personally, and I know that was like probably the last thing on your mind. But how has it been?
Well, if you move to Kauai, you're really not looking for a social media career. I mean, that's like they don't even have serious radio here. So there's no satellite radio, or I have to, when I want to listen to your podcast, I have to put it on my phone and start playing it before I get in my car. So I came here honestly to have a safe environment for my family, to have the Garden State, the greenest place to live in the world, a safe place for my kids to go to school, pollution free. So that's really what I was looking for, a utopia, and I found it. This was completely accidental. People would write comments to me. You know, I would say 99% of the comments written to me on social media were positive. I mean, people would call me a global hero, superwoman, all these things. I'd practically fall back in my chair. I made a comment that I felt like Amy Schumer from I'm Pretty, because I felt like I had landed, hit my head, and woke up, and people, and I was like, oh, I'm a global hero. And then all of a sudden walking around like that and just accepting it was kind of stunning. But I feel like I've just tried to embrace it for all women, because I want to stand up for sexism in medicine and really be a voice for them and make platforms for them. So I've made this platform on Facebook that's called Med Bikini, and it's a place for women to come together if they are experiencing sexism in medicine. They can talk to other people, maybe laugh about it, maybe not, and then just find solidarity, and they can figure out how to make their lives better and really rise above it and figure out a solution for their lives. Because I just didn't want to talk about it. Just talk about how, yeah, medicine's so horrible and sexist and woe is me. I just wanted to be active about it. And then I thought, you know what? I should use my own voice and talk about my life as a surf doctor. I always wanted to write a book, but I was afraid that people would look at me differently at work. You know, Dr. Bikini, oh, you know, she can't be taken seriously. And if I talk about my personal life, whether it's surfing or, you know, having a party, that people would look down on me. But I really, that's just part of life. Like, we're human. Now I'm really happy just to humanize doctors and let them know that we have lives outside of medicine. And here's my life. I'm a surf doctor who travels, and these are my experiences, and share them with the world. So I think that's important, that we start to share our stories.
So you're going to share your story in the form of a book.
Yes.
This is happening. Okay. What is the name of this book?
It's called Sex, Surf, Suture Scars. And hopefully it's going to be coming out 2021. I've written actually quite a bit of it, but I've just been afraid to publish it because I honestly never wanted anyone calling me Dr. Bikini at work, because I feel like it undercuts my professionalism. But now everyone does, so it's just pointless that I even tried to stop that from happening. But I think people now see Dr. Bikini as a different person. It's just not, you know, a woman in a bathing suit it's a woman in a bathing suit who's powerful. Like you said, she saved someone's life in a bathing suit. So go ahead, call me Dr. Bikini. Like, I'm game for it now.
I love it. Candace, it has been such a joy to have you. So I ask all the guests these last two questions. One, where are you getting your vitamin joy these days? And two, where can listeners get more vitamin joy? What's your recommendation?
Well, I live on Kauai, so it's not difficult for me to get my vitamin joy, because my life has actually become more adventurous. I am able to surf more and motorcycle more and be outdoors more with my family than ever before, honestly. There's no traffic here. I have to say, it's just the outdoors. That's what gives me my vitamin joy. And then honestly, the patients I take care of, I'm so happy at work. There's so much aloha in the ER. People are so kind. There's so many thank yous. And then I get the joy of seeing my patients at Costco, or running into them in the surf lineup and see how they're feeling. So I've really become this, you know, Dr. Quinn type medicine woman type doctor I've always wanted to be, which is become part of the community and be a physician for the community. And that really gives me a lot of joy, honestly. And then for just other people in general, yeah, I think you just have to find your passion, really just figure out what makes you the happiest and go there and do that more. And it, you know, whether it's surfing, you know, finding more time to surf in your day, or laughing, or whatever your passion is. I really think a lot of times we get so focused on work, and I do too. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like I'm just laughing all the time and surfing. I'm laughing a lot and surfing, but you know, we have a lot of part of our day that's serious, and just getting breaks in your day, even just take 30 minutes to exercise and release those endorphins and get some oxytocin and dopamine dump in, so you feel good about yourself and about the world. I think that's so important. and also limiting the amount that you listen to the news.
And laughing, working on that six pack.
Work on that six pack. Yes, laugh as much as you can.
I love it. Candice, where can people find more of you?
Well, I actually am making a website right now called drcandysurvival.com, and it's going to have information coming up about my book. And then also I'm been working on a first aid kit for a long time that's waterproof and geared towards women, but also we're going to have one geared towards men. Don't worry, they'll both have condoms in them. And there'll be one for kids too that's not going to have condoms in them. But just, you know, things that is really helpful for traveling, like the perfect kit. And also inside there is going to be a list of you know, items I think you should ask your doctor for to help you travel. And then I have a couple other inventions I've been working on for a while that I just never had the gumption. Do people even say that anymore? To go for. So I'm just going to go for it. And hopefully these things will be popping up on my website as I get them going. But it's hard. You know, I work full time. I still have medical student loan debt. I've got, you know, I don't have a lot of free time, but as much as I can, I'll wield it to make my life more interesting and pursue other dreams as well.
I am totally inspired to go for it after talking to you, Candy. So I,
well, girl, you already gone
so
for it.
So many people are going to be inspired talking to you. It's been such a joy. Thank you so much. You killed it.
Thanks so much. Good luck with your new show. It seems amazing so far. I've loved listening to your podcast that I've heard.
Candice Myrie, you are amazing. Thank you so much for bringing your life-saving skills to the world and your vitamin joy and your sense of humor. You can find more on Candice Myrie, see her Speedo and bikini posts and her bush on Instagram at Dr. Candy Surf Bible. That's at DrCandySurvival. The Vitamin Joy Challenge this week is simple, just as I wanted this show to be. Like a vitamin, I wanted it to be easy to take, accessible, but when you take it regularly, it can make you feel really good. So the challenge is to find more humor. Even in the hard, even in the messy, even in emergencies, even in 2020, right now. Be serious when you have to be, but try to find laughter because life is not always a smooth ride. I'll be making more bush jokes in my own backyard. I hope you join me. Thank you so much for listening to this show, which is now part of the BYLR Build Your Life Resume Radio Network. You can find BYLR Radio on the App Store or by asking Alexa to download BYLR Radio for you. BYLR Radio Network plays podcasts and the music you love 24 hours a day, all day, every day. So check it out. You can download the app. It's called BYLR Radio. This particular show, Vitamin Joy, is produced by Starburn Audio and edited by the amazing Mackenzie Mizell. Our current sponsors are Orzin Alp Skincare, FX Chocolate, and Box Union Digital. Please support our sponsors so they keep supporting this show. And thank you to you for listening to this show. This show and all of you bring me a lot of vitamin joy. I love your feedback, I love your comments, and I love when you review the show, which, speaking of, if you have a minute, please subscribe and rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to this podcast. As always, I hope you're having a beautiful day, and wherever you are in the world, I hope you take some time to dose yourself with a little vitamin joy.